What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 hour down, three to go, 4 o'clock. Who said it? I love who said it. At some point in the program, Kenny is going to yell at me. Rico is, I think, going to agree with me. What happened with Paul Skeens yesterday was a travesty, an absolute travesty. Ridiculous. So we'll get into that at some point. 5 o'clock hour. I can't wait. We got something Lions related. However, Rico, whether you want to admit it or not, it's a big series at Comerica Park. Tigers have won 8 of 11. Dodgers have lost 4 in a row. Dodgers, Tigers, Tarek Skubal on the bump today. And more importantly, I think to a lot of people, because there's only standing room left at Comerica. Like, there's not a whole lot of tickets left. People are going down to the ballpark to see the Dodgers. And I think these tickets were gobbled up even before the most recent winning streak. But it should be an unbelievable atmosphere at Comerica tonight. Dodgers coming off a series sweep to Dave Dombrowski's bunch. Tigers are red freaking hot. And you and me, and we all get to see Shohei Ohtani. So I ask you, Rico, of all the people heading downtown today, are they going for the Dodgers? Are they going for the Red Hot Tigers? Or are they simply going for Shohei?
I think they're going for Shohei. I think because Shohei is that generational type player that you want to say, at least one time in your life, you got to see him live and in person. So you're heading down to the ballpark. Now, it's a bonus that you get Skubal. It's a bonus that the Tigers have been winning. But if the Tigers had been on a 12-game losing streak, you were still going to this game to watch Shohei pummel the Tigers. So I think it's all about Shohei tonight.
So you got Ohtani. And I started thinking about this because I know last year it was one of the most incredible things you've ever seen in sports. Shohei Ohtani pitched against the Tigers in one game of a double dip. And then he hit two dongs in the next game against the Tigers. It was the most dominant performance of anybody I've ever seen in one day. He one hit the Tigers, complete game. Nobody throws a complete game anymore. I mean, nobody's allowed to. But Ohtani was just unbelievable, right? So I agree with you. I think a lot of people are going down to see Shohei. But the second question is, who is in that category anymore? Like, I do feel the list is dwindling. It used to be great. Like, back in the day, Piston fans would show up to see Kobe. Right? We all would flock to see Michael Jordan. Mario Lemieux was on that list. Wayne Gretzky was on that list. Now, it's Shohei Ohtani, it's Connor McDavid, and it's who? Who else is on that list? I think we got ourselves a real big star problem. Maybe LeBron? I mean, yeah, we'll go to the game and see LeBron and Bronny. The problem is LeBron usually is on load management when he comes to Detroit, so we never see him.
True. I think Steph Curry still may be one of those guys, because if he goes out there to play, you want to see if he can hit that 35-foot three-pointer. Another one that I have, Rieger.
That's a good one.
Is probably still Patrick Mahomes. Just because of the aura around him, I think if the Chiefs were to come down to Ford Field, I think you would see a lot of Chiefs jerseys and Mahomes jerseys. Because I remember, like, back in the day, man, when Michael Vick came in on a Thanksgiving day for the Lions, I went down there to watch Vick. I didn't care about the Lions. I wanted to see if Michael Vick could do something special. If I could say I was there when he did this. So I think Mahomes is really the only one that I can think of in the NFL, and maybe Steph Curry still in the NBA.
Like, can you help us out? 248-539-9797. Number one, why are you going tonight? Is it simply for Shohei? Is it for Skubal? Is it for the Red Hot Tigers? And then number two, who else is on the modern day list of dudes worth the price of admission. Like, I can think of one person, but they're not a dude. Caitlin Clark. I think people flock wherever she is to go watch her play. So we got McDavid, we got Clark, we got Mahomes, and we got Shohei. I think that's it. Who are we missing?
Rieger, I like the Caitlin Clark thing because a buddy of mine, we were watching the MSU-Iowa game on Peacock streaming just so we could say, we actually watched her because she was not going to come. As she came to the Breslin Center, we were going to drive up to go watch her play. So, Caitlin Clark is another one.
Didn't she go to Chrysler and they sold out in seconds?
Yes. No.
And I think that was her junior year. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, it may have been her junior year. Okay.
That was her junior year because her senior year last year, they didn't play
at Chrysler.
She had the record in Iowa against Michigan. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Okay.
You hate to see it.
All right. So we got five people. That's it. Has the list really dwindled down that far?
I have a question about one.
No, that Crosby does not count.
No, I agree. Could you still add Tiger Woods to this list? Because it feels like every time I watch him on TV, whatever hole he's playing at is always the most crowded out of anyone.
Here's the problem. Yes, people will still go to see Tiger. And yes, he'll be in every major. The problem is, it's so depressing. Like the first round, he shoots par. The second round, he's 3 to 4 to 5 over.
But
if he makes
Tiger,
the cut,
he
ends up withdrawing or being 16 over. Like he's a shell of himself. It's unfortunate. Now, when he plays on the Champions Tour to try to win like the championship, something that Jack never did, and he can take a cart, then he'll be dominant again. But the fact that he has to walk so much, I'm going to DQ Tiger Woods. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong because it's very sad when you watch him. Watching Tiger right now is like when your favorite athlete, when he gets traded to another team and you know the end is near and you're just like, it's Emmitt Smith as a Cardinal. It's Shaq as a Boston Celtic. It's Jerry Rice as a Seahawk. Like, this is painful to watch.
Right, like old guys I'm all for. I like because I'm old myself. Like I liked watching Jim Tomei as a Twin. And a Philly. And I liked watching Brett Favre as a Viking and a Jet. But Tiger's just broken down, unfortunately. Yeah, people are going to go watch because it's the whole nostalgia thing. But he's just not good anymore. Not even close to being good.
I have two guys that may not be on people's list, but it should be soon on people's list. One's from the NBA, and that's going to be Anthony Edwards. Here's why. He competed in that playoffs, and he reminds me a lot of Jordan when it comes to being competitive and wanting to entertain basketball fans. So I don't think he's going to be one to come to Detroit and say, oh, I'm taking a day off, low management. No, he's only in here once a year. I think he's going to come to town and entertain, and you can go and watch him.
I like that.
Second one, Major League Baseball. He should be on your list real soon. It's Paul Skeens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that kid is something else. I call him kid. Who am I? But he's something else to watch on TV. It has to be another world when you're watching him in front, when he's right in front of you on that mound.
You know what, David? I don't think you got to wait. I think that Paul Skeens is there. I think that he is that guy that, you would go down to the ballpark to watch him. Ant-Man, maybe, because I don't think a lot of people know who he is because I think the NBA has lost out on its popularity. That hardcore people, yes, but, Paul Skeens, he's that guy that, you know what? I just thought of another one. I did. But, I don't want to give too many out, so I'll save this one. But there is another one, another young guy, David, that I do think is must-go-see this guy play.
With Paul Skeens, I heard it's go-see Livy Dunn. Stick around for Paul Skeens. You know, he's got the influencer girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she is a gymnast, Rieger.
I know. She's an influencer, too.
She's not just an influencer. She's also a gymnast.
I'm a fan. That's all.
She's headed back for year 5.
By the way, to David's point, if you saw the movie Hustle, Anthony Edwards was in it.
Yes, he was.
You know, so maybe that's going to make you want to go. All right, 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. You got Shohei Ohtani in town. You got the Dodgers in town. Mookie Betts could be one of those guys, but unfortunately he's injured. The whole Dodgers team seems like they're injured. Tigers have no excuse. They should win tonight. But who's on the Shohei list? the one guy these days that's simply worth the price of admission for themselves. Like the one guy you will pay to go see, even if your team stinks. We got like 3 to 4 to 5 guys. Who we missing? 97 won the ticket.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thousands of Metro Detroiters are going to flock down to Comerica tonight to watch Shohei Ohtani and Tarek Skubal and the Red Hot Tigers. But the majority of people, we think, are going because Ohtani's playing. It's one of those dudes you just got to go watch at least one time in your life. But we kind of were talking pre-show, and we feel the list is dwindling of other must-see athletes that are worth the price of admission. Even if your team stinks, you just go to watch this guy. So who is that guy? Who deserves to be on the new list? Because the Kobe's are gone, the Shaq's are gone, the Jordan's are gone. 248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. Very quickly, guys, before we go to the phones and get to the ticket text, I'm looking at one ticket text. You tell me if this person deserves to be on this list or not. Give it 3 to 5 years, Scottie Scheffler will have Tiger-like flocks around him once he starts creeping towards more records. I totally disagree. He's not Tiger-like at all.
I disagree as
he's
well.
Really good.
Because it seems like there's always that up-and-coming golfer who's going to be that guy until he's not. It was Sergio for a while. Oh, you got to say he's going to be that guy, and then he wasn't.
They're always looking for the next one, right? They're always looking for the next Tiger. Like, I feel Jordan Spieth was that guy. I feel Justin Thomas, people thought, might be that guy. Hey, look at Will Zalatoris. He's really... And even though Scheffler's better than all those dudes, I don't think he is in the Tiger Woods atmosphere. I just don't believe it.
And Rieger, I'm going to say this. Unless you're a hardcore golfer, you've heard the names, but they could come and deliver you a pizza and you wouldn't know who they were.
248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Mike's in Sterling Heights. What's up, Mike?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, Mike.
Listen, man. Me and my buddy and my brother were talking about this a little while ago, man. I'm 60, and I was fortunate to see some great people live, man. Mark Tbird against the Yankees. That was my first baseball game. You know, seen Tommy Hearns. You know, seen, like I say, Reggie Jackson and Michael Jordan. You know, a lot of great guys that were great that you went to see because it was greatness. So today it's two guys that you guys haven't mentioned that I think are in that ballpark. One is a baseball player, De La Cruz, shortstop, 99 mile an hour with the way he throws, the way he hits, the way he runs the bases. I mean, it reminds me of Ricky Henderson and Ken Griffey and Willie Mays all combined as a one player, man. Incredible.
Mike.
So I would definitely say to see him.
Mike, yes, his power is impressive, Mike. But, dude, his arm, the way he plays shortstop, his fluidity, that dude's a stud.
And Mike, full disclosure, that's who I was going to say, but I'm like, you know what? Yep. I'm going to save that for somebody.
And I got one more. Basketball player. 7'5" alien, plays like a 6'6" guy that's all world, but he's 7'5" for San Antonio Spurs. Victor. This dude is, he does stuff that nobody in the history has done. So those are the type of guys I think you guys are talking about. And the alien man, I can only imagine him in 2 years, let alone next season. So De La Cruz, freak of nature, all-star. I think he's in that category. Both of these guys are in the category. I look forward to the game tonight. Add that to my list, man.
Wimby doesn't do anything more special than anyone else. He shoots threes. Wonderful. He blocks.
But he's 7'5", dude.
He dribbles. Great. Everyone does that in the league.
Wow. But not at 7'5". They can't go touch the top of the backboard and take a quarter off of it.
No, you're right. I'm messing with you. You're right.
No, Dave is just being a hater right now. That's all.
Thank you, Mike. All right, so Wembanyama for sure, Ellie De La Cruz. I would agree with that as well. Somebody on the ticket text says Aaron Judge for sure in that group. That's Jacob and Novi. Would you go Judge?
Yeah.
Nah.
You know what? I don't know if I would rearrange my day to make sure I get down there to watch Judge play. This is one of those where you stop what you're doing because you have to see this guy because Judge, no, not me.
Remember Judge last year was going for the 60 homers? And everybody kept saying, well, you know, he's going to set the American League record for home runs. Which, by the way, there's no such thing. It's the baseball record, and that belongs to Barry Bonds. But because everybody thinks Barry Bonds is a steroid cheater, they refuse to even talk about him. Oh, look at Aaron Judge. He's better. Because now, Aaron Judge, a nice, great player. But he's not Shohei Ohtani. And by the way, do people still really want to see Shohei? Because he can't pitch right now. Like, I always thought part of the lore for Shohei was that you could watch him pitch and you can watch him play the field as well, which Detroiters got to do in one day last year. So I wonder if he's losing a little bit of his luster.
No. The pitching part, I think that just added to it, but it's Shohei, the amount of money that he is making. He's the international face of baseball.
I always thought it was the pitching then, though, because
I think it was because he did something that most people just didn't do, because pitching and batting, and he was able to be good at both. But yeah, if he goes out there and pitches like he did that last year with the doubleheader, that's phenomenal if you could watch that. But he's still good enough. You'll go and watch him bat.
Oh, by the way, Mike Valeni texting the show. Couldn't stay away from law for long. I get this ticket text. Says Wyatt Langford.
You just took the text I was going to read. I love it.
Mike, enjoy your time off, for crying out loud. All right. Somebody also says Alex Ovechkin. Ovi, I think, is legitimate considering he's 49 or 46 goals away from the great one.
Ovi is like the Tiger Woods example. You go to see him, but not for the reasons you used to go to see him.
He's not the same guy.
He's not the same guy, but he is still scoring. He's still
right.
Not quite as at the pace he was before, but it's the Tiger Woods example all over again.
He doesn't put you on your ass like he used to, right? Like, there was a point where he led his team in hits and goals and shots. He's not that guy anymore, but he's trying to beat Gretzky.
I'm surprised his career's gone this long. Usually guys who are wrecking balls like that don't go it this long.
You know, there's a lot of Canadians out there that don't want the Russian player to beat Wayne Gretzky. Their son, I can't wait.
I don't want him either.
Oh, why not?
I don't want it.
Why?
Because I don't.
You don't want to see the great one's record go down?
No.
Why?
It's political. So, no, I'm just joking. I don't care. I'm messing with people.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go to DJ.
Now imagine, he hasn't started playing a college football game yet, and he's already this crank.
DJ in Fowlerville, you're on the ticket. Who you got, DJ?
Hey, Jeff Reeker. Jeff Rico, how are you guys doing?
Hey, man.
So I have a couple of the must-see athletes, a couple for each sport. So for baseball, I got to see Ohtani last year when he played in Detroit. He's an absolute stud, no matter when you see him. A couple other ones, Ella De La Cruz, like the last caller mentioned, and Ronald Acuna Jr. So I went down to Cincinnati last year, and I saw both of them when Ella De La Cruz hit the cycle, you know, that game. And that was a sweet game to go to. So I have some for other sports. For football, obviously you have your Patrick Mahomes. Another one, Justin Jefferson, the things he's doing nowadays at the receiver position is unthinkable. I really think he's a good one to go watch. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. I have a golf one for you guys, Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau has brought the sport back to life to where it wasn't.
It's fun to watch.
And I really think he's entertaining.
DJ, a lot of people hated him, then he went to live, and now he somehow got his reputation back. Everybody loves the dude.
Yeah, I think he brought the sport back to he brought it alive, and what he's doing out there I think is unbelievable. Come back winning that U.S. Open,
hanging out with Paige Spiranak all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Deej.
Why does it always keep? You know what? I'm just gonna let it go.
What?
With you, Rieger? Like it, and they hang out with this person. This is why you like Kelly Stafford so much, right?
No, I mentioned it twice. Paul Skeen's wife or girlfriend is Livy Dunn, right? She's famous. People talk about her. And then, yeah, Paige Spiranak is that golfer that she does a lot of content stuff with Bryson DeChambeau. That's all. I just happen to be active on the social media.
The average person doesn't even know what you just said.
Well, I'm adding content to people's life. People need to know these things. You don't think the average person knows who Paige Spiranak is?
Yes, I'm sure they know her for her golf.
No, definitely not her golf. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a sports show. I apologize. All right. 248-539-9797.
Now it makes sense that this is two club championships, not even senior.
This is why you follow Kelly Stafford so much. You're really into the wives and the girlfriends.
That's right, the wags. All right, 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Who belongs on the Shohei Ohtani list? The one guy that's worth the price of admission that you'll go see even if your team stinks. But, Rico, coming up next as well, I have to mix something else baseball-related in. It's been bothering the crap out of me. You're going to tell me I'm stupid. Kenny's going to yell at me and call me a moron. David is shaking his head, so I'm pretty much sure he's going to do the same thing. But it's total crap, and I can't shake it. So I'm going to do that as well. You good with that?
I'm good with that.
97 won the ticket. Rico, I brought this up to you. I know you're going to laugh at me. I know Kenny's going to call me a moron. But I wanted to take one quick segment. Then we'll move on, I swear. But yesterday, the Tigers kicked a little ass. They win 10-1. Also, while I was at the pool with my daughter, I was watching the Pirates game. Paul Skeens is unbelievable. One of those dudes worth the price of admission. We were just talking about him. His girlfriend is Livy Dunn. I know you guys care about that. He took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. So he went through seven yesterday. 99 pitches, had 11 strikeouts, only had one walk. Was dominant, was lethal, was filthy. He's a rookie that will start the All-Star game for the National League, and he had a chance to throw a no-hitter yesterday. 99 pitches, right? Next thing you know, they yank him out of the game. Why? Because nobody can throw a complete game or a no-hitter these days. Like, it's not enough, right, to, like, they couldn't even let him try to go in the eighth inning and try to get at least three more outs, or at least one more out. As soon as he gives up a hit, you got a guy in the pen ready. You yank him out of the game. No big deal. He was six outs away from a no-hitter. But now we've reached this stage where it's totally acceptable to pull out a guy when he's trying for history. They did it to Matt Manning a couple years ago, and it ended up being a Tigers combined no-hitter, which is stupid. There's no such thing. Now it's totally acceptable by everybody, including Kenny Cott. It's like, oh, you don't want to risk an arm problem. Oh, the guy's so good. You better yank him out of the game. Like, three more pitches, seven more pitches, 20 more pitches are going to be the difference between Tommy John and not having Tommy John. It's ridiculous. All of a sudden, we can't, like, chase no-hitters. It's one of the special, cool things about the sport of baseball. It's already losing people. And now, oh, no, can't throw a no-hitter, can't throw a complete game. And it's not just Skeens. There's been so many instances where they always err on the side of caution. It's totally BS. So go ahead, yell at me. Talk to me about analytics. Tell me about the science and Tommy John. But I am so sick of this nonsense.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done. I'm pissed off. I don't know why, and maybe an old man, but like it's stuff like this that irritates the crap out of me.
Well, Rieger, here's the thing. I agree with you.
Oh,
daily.
All right.
Daily.
Daily you agree with me.
I get Thank yelled you. At by either Mike, especially Mike, David, and Kenny, that I've ruined college football. Oh, you and your TV mogul. No, here's the thing. Analytics ruining sports. That now in the NBA, you just jack up a bunch of threes. There's no basketball being played. And in baseball, it's all about, you know, the launch angle and all of this other stuff instead of just playing ball. And yesterday was another example. You just go with your gut and you let this kid go out there and pitch and try to get something special. At this point, you're up for a no-hitter. There is no more pitch count, kid. Now, the kid has to know, if you give up a hit, I'm taking you out of the game.
No big deal.
But until you give up that hit, I don't care if you throw 120 pitches. If we have to, we'll give you an extra day off to make up for this. But I want you to have this on your resume. I want you to say, yeah, I got that no-hitter, because it's special. Just think about, I mean, if times were like this now, probably Verlander would have he wouldn't have any no-hitters as a Tiger.
That's the thing. Verlander would throw 134. Listen, this is not, I don't want anybody to be like Mickey Lolich, right? Edwin Jackson one time threw a no-hitter. He threw 149 pitches and walked seven dudes. I'm not saying it needs to be like that. What I am saying is you can't take away the fans' opportunity for greatness. This is why we watch the games.
Rieger, not even the fans.
Go ahead.
Not even the fans, for the individual.
I agree.
Because it's about as criminal as taking out a batter who's one hit short for the cycle. Now we're going to go ahead and bench you because, you know, we're going to put this other guy in because of analytics. No, this guy's hot. Let him bat. This guy is dealing on the mound. If he gives up a hit, his day is over. But until he does that, you're going to go out there. You're going to do something that, heavens forbid, you throw a complete game and we don't have to use our bullpen.
No, Rico, they want to cheapen it now. They want to say, well, you know what? We got a combined no-hitter. Do you have any idea how rare that is? It's only happened 10 times.
No one.
Why? Because they used to let pitchers actually try for a no-hitter.
Right. Jeff, if this was I agree with you kind of halfway. I agree that it is ruining the fun. It is taking fun away from this game.
Yeah, who needs fun, right?
I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to take away your joy. But, Jeff, if this was Justin Verlander or Scherzer back in the day or whatever, then I say, you know what? I'm all in. Let him throw the no-hitter because this guy has earned it. This guy has the resume. This guy knows
Paul
he can go.
Steens has earned it.
No, he hasn't. He just got here.
No, but see, Kenny, the problem is back in the day, and it's not a back-in-the-day thing, they would let a rookie or anybody really go for a no-hitter. Now we're too worried what an investment they are, and we're too worried they're going to get injured. It is overkill.
This is a young pitcher. I'm talking about if this is a guy who's been here long enough and proven he can go deep into ball games night in and night out. Skeens has not been here a full year yet.
Yeah,
Justin Verlander has proven he's a workhorse and can do that. I'm just using him as an example.
Well, real quick, the arm's going to go regardless. If you're going to need Tommy John, you're going to need Tommy John. It's not because you attempted 30 more pitches during a no-hitter.
Right, that's just it, Kenny. You're doing something special. 30 extra pitches. If I have to, if it goes that long, I'll have you miss a rotation just to correct yourself.
And on pitch 29, you blow your shoulder out. Great. Good job.
Oh, well.
On pitch two, you can blow your shoulder out.
I mean, I could literally go outside, and I'm sure a lot of people are rooting for this, and I'll get hit by a bus. You know, and you'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't have gone out when you went outside. Some things you just cannot avoid. If a guy is going to have shoulder surgery, elbow surgery, Tommy John, it's just going to happen.
This guy is an investment. He is not just here for your entertainment. He's not
fun.
No,
he actually is here for my entertainment.
Okay, great.
He's here for the game of baseball.
If he blows his shoulder out, though, he's not here at all, and your investment is ruined. This guy, you want him here for years and years to come, and if he's not here for years and years to come.
So where does it end, though?
Hold on, Rieger, hold on. So, Kenny, I guess I've missed how many pitchers throwing a no-hitter threw their shoulder out?
I'm not saying it happens when they're throwing the no-hitter. I'm just saying it could. And by the way, you're adding more pitches onto this guy's arm, getting him closer to that eventual Tommy John.
Oh, listen, I don't doubt that arm injuries are up. I also think arm injuries are up simply because of how these guys now train. Everybody's afraid to train to throw more pitches, so they train a different way, and you get up to 99, you got to yank a guy out of the game. See, that to me is the most ridiculous thing. These days, if a guy throws 104, 107, everybody's throwing a party. What a workhorse. Do you remember the days, it was 6 years ago, when we used to bitch and moan that Max Scherzer couldn't throw a complete game? He used to get, Jack Morris made fun of him. Now it's, if you throw 85 pitches and get through five, you're a warrior. Screw that.
Well, pitchers used to pitch 140, man. Come on. What are we doing? Back in the day radio here?
Listen, can we take one call? Do we have time for one call? All right, Luke, you're on the ticket. What's up, Luke?
Oh, Rieger, can I get an amen?
Let me see if I can find that drop. Hold on.
That's can I get an amen? Oh, no.
Thank you. All right, I could not agree
with you
more.
This man is a criminal.
The pitch count is the most arbitrary stat that's ever been invented in baseball. If there is no correlation between them keeping track of pitches, and they, since I started doing it, pitchers are getting injured at the higher rate than they've ever been injured at. So there's clearly no correlation between that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'd rather just see you go out there and make history. That's something special, because nobody's going to remember, oh, he got to 99 pitches and they yanked him out. No, let him go out there and see what happens. But we become just so, yeah, indoctrinated to it's all about the numbers and this. And I think, to me, that's ruining the fun of sports, because sometimes,
I agree,
Rieger, you said it, this is supposed to just be fun. Kenny, you could throw out your arm on any pitch. You could throw out your arm on the first pitch. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can't stop it.
248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. I mean, listen, if you want to hit on it, it's out there. I had my segment. I got it off my chest. I think it's ridiculous. Kenny disagrees. That's fine. But the Pirates were...
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rico, I brought this up to you. I know you're going to laugh at me. I know Kenny's going to call me a moron. But I wanted to take one quick segment. Then we'll move on, I swear. But yesterday, the Tigers kicked a little ass. They win 10-1. Also, while I was at the pool with my daughter, I was watching the Pirates game. Paul Skenes is unbelievable. One of those dudes worth the price of admission. We were just talking about him. His girlfriend is Livy Dunn. I know you guys care about that. He took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. So he went through seven yesterday. 99 pitches, had 11 strikeouts, only had one walk, was dominant, was lethal, was filthy. He's a rookie that will start the All-Star game for the National League, and he had a chance to throw a no-hitter yesterday. 99 pitches, right? Next thing you know, they yank him out of the game. Why? Because nobody can throw a complete game or a no-hitter these days. Like, it's not enough, right, to, like, they couldn't even let him try to go in the eighth inning and try to get at least three more outs, or at least one more out. As soon as he gives up a hit, you got a guy in the pen ready. You yank him out of the game. No big deal. He was six outs away from a no-hitter. But now we've reached this stage where it's totally acceptable to pull out a guy when he's trying for history. They did it to Matt Manning a couple years ago, and it ended up being a Tigers combined no-hitter, which is stupid. There's no such thing. Now it's totally acceptable by everybody, including Kenny Cott. It's like, oh, you don't want to risk an arm problem. Oh, the guy's so good. You better yank him out of the game. Like, three more pitches, seven more pitches, 20 more pitches are going to be the difference between Tommy John and not having Tommy John. It's ridiculous. All of a sudden, we can't, like, chase no-hitters. It's one of the special, cool things about the sport of baseball. It's already losing people. And now, oh, no, can't throw a no-hitter, can't throw a complete game. And it's not just Skenes. There's been so many instances where they always err on the side of caution. It's totally BS. So go ahead, yell at me. Talk to me about analytics. Tell me about the science and Tommy John. But I'm so sick of this nonsense.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done. I'm pissed off. I don't know why, and maybe an old man, but like, it's stuff like this that irritates the crap out of me.
Well, Rieger, here's the thing. I agree with you.
Oh,
daily.
All right.
Daily.
Daily you agree with me.
I get yelled at by either Mike, especially Mike, David, and Kenny, that I've ruined college football. Oh, you and your TV mogul. No, here's the thing. Analytics ruining sports. That now in the NBA, you just jack up a bunch of threes. There's no basketball being played. And in baseball, it's all about, you know, the launch angle and all of this other stuff instead of just playing ball. And yesterday was another example. You just go with your gut and you let this kid go out there and pitch and try to get something special. At this point, you're up for a no-hitter. There is no more pitch count, kid. Now, if all and the kid has to know, if you give up a hit, I'm taking you out of the game.
No big deal.
But until you give up that hit, I don't care if you throw 120 pitches. If we have to, we'll give you an extra day off to make up for this. But I want you to have this on your resume. I want you to say, yeah, I got that no-hitter. Because it's special. Just think about it. I mean, if times were like this now, probably Verlander would have no – he wouldn't have any no-hitters as a Tiger.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Verlander would throw 134. Like, and listen, this is not – I don't want anybody to be like Mickey Lolich, right? Edwin Jackson one time threw a no-hitter. He threw 149 pitches and walked seven dudes. I'm not saying it needs to be like that. What I am saying is you can't take away the fans' opportunity for greatness. Like, this is why we watch the games.
Rieger, not even the fans.
Go ahead.
Not even the fans, for the individual.
I agree.
Because you're it's about as criminal as taking out a batter who's one hit short for the cycle. Nah, we're gonna go ahead and bench you because, you know, we're gonna put this other guy in because of analytics. No, this guy's hot. Let him bat. This guy is dealing on the mound. If he gives up a hit, his day is over. But until he does that, you're gonna go out there, you're gonna do something that heavens forbid you throw a complete game and we don't have to use our bullpen.
No, Rico, they want to cheapen it now. They want to say, well, you know what? We got a combined no-hitter. Do you have any idea how rare that is? It's only happened 10 times.
No one.
Why? Because
cares.
They used to let pitchers actually try for a no-hitter.
Right. Jeff, if this was like, I agree with you kind of halfway. I agree that it is ruining the fun. It is taking fun away from this game.
Yeah, and who needs fun, right?
I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to take away your joy. But, Jeff, if this was Justin Verlander or Scherzer back in the day or whatever, then I say, you know what? I'm all in. Let him throw the no-hitter because this guy has earned it. This guy has the resume. This guy knows
Paul
he can go.
Steens has earned it.
No, he hasn't. He just got here.
No, but see, Kenny, the problem is back in the day, and it's not a back-in-the-day thing, they would let a rookie or anybody really go for a no-hitter. Now it's we're too worried what an investment they are, and we're too worried they're going to get injured. It is overkill.
This is a young pitcher. I'm talking about if this is a guy who's been here long enough and proven he can go deep into ball games night in and night out. Skeens has not been here a full year yet.
Yeah,
Justin Verlander has proven he's a workhorse and can do that. I'm just using him as an example.
Well, real quick, the arm's going to go regardless. Like, if you're going to need Tommy John, you're going to need Tommy John. It's not because you attempted 31 pitches during a no-hitter.
Right, that's just it, Kenny. You're doing something special. 30 extra pitches. If I have to, if it goes that long, I'll have you miss a rotation just to correct yourself.
And on pitch 29, you blow your shoulder out. Great. Good job.
Oh, well.
On pitch 2, you can blow your shoulder out.
I mean, I could literally go outside, and I'm sure a lot of people are rooting for this, and I'll get hit by a bus. You know, and you'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't have gone out when you went outside. Some things you just cannot avoid. If a guy is going to have shoulder surgery, elbow surgery, Tommy John, it's just going to happen.
This guy is an investment. He is not just here for your entertainment. He's not
for
fun.
No, he actually is here for my entertainment.
Okay, great.
So he's here for the game of baseball.
If he blows his shoulder out, though, he's not here at all, and your investment is ruined. This guy, you want him here for years and years to come.
Okay.
And if he's not here for years and years to come.
So where does it end, though?
Hold on. Rieger, hold on. So, Kenny, I guess I've missed how many pitchers throwing a no-hitter threw their shoulder out?
I'm not saying it happens when they're throwing the no-hitter. I'm just saying it could. And by the way, you're adding more pitches onto this guy's arm, getting him closer to that eventual Tommy John.
Oh, listen, I don't doubt that arm injuries are up. I also think arm injuries are up simply because of how these guys now train. Everybody's afraid to train to throw more pitches, so they train a different way, and you get up to 99, you got to yank a guy out of the game. See, that to me is the most ridiculous thing. These days, if a guy throws 104, 107, everybody's throwing a party. What a workhorse. Do you remember the days, it was like 6 years ago, when we used to bitch and moan that Max Scherzer couldn't throw a complete game? He used to get, Jack Morris made fun of him. Now it's, if you throw 85 pitches and get through five, oh, you're a warrior. Screw that.
Well, pitchers used to pitch like 140, man. Come on. Like, what are we doing? Back in the day radio here?
Listen, can we take one call? Do we have time for one call? All right, Luke, you're on the ticket. What's up, Luke?
Oh, Rieger, can I get an amen?
Let me see if I can find that drop. Hold on.
That's can I get an amen? Oh, no.
Thank you, thank you. All right, I could not agree
this
with you more.
This man is a criminal.
The pitch count is the most arbitrary stat that's ever been invented in baseball. If there is no correlation between them keeping track of pitches, and since I started doing it, pitchers are getting injured at a higher rate than they've ever been injured at. So there's clearly no correlation between that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'd rather just see you go out there and make history. That's something special, because nobody's going to remember, oh, he got to 99 pitches and they yanked him out. No, let him go out there and see what happens. But we become just so, yeah, indoctrinated to it's all about the numbers and this. And I think, to me, that's ruining the fun of sports, because sometimes,
I agree.
Rieger, you said it, this is supposed to just be fun. Kenny, you could throw out your arm on any pitch. You could throw out your arm on the first pitch. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can't stop it.
248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. I mean, listen, if you want to hit on it, it's out there. I had my segment. I got it off my chest. I think it's ridiculous. Kenny disagrees. That's fine. But the Pirates were just the latest to do baseball fans a disservice by yanking out Paul Skenes as he's at 99 pitches throwing a freaking no-hitter. What a joke. 97 won the ticket. Oh, football's so close. Still blitz.
We are less than 50 days till kickoff of the college football season. Here's what I want to do today. Andy Staples of On3.com covers all college sports. He put together his Blue Bloods list for college football. So first, he has contenders, and then the actual Blue Bloods. So I'm going to go through the contenders list here. First up in the contenders list, Florida State.
Saying that Florida State is a blue blood?
No, they're on the contender. So underneath the blue blood, should they be underneath or should they actually be a blue blood?
Man, that's a tough one. You know what, David? They probably would have been a blue blood had they been allowed to make the college football playoffs last year. But they
so would making an expanded playoff, though, put them in that conversation, or would they have to accomplish more because it's an expanded playoff?
I think they would have to accomplish more. I mean, they do have a tie. Jeez, that's a good one right off the bat. I would still say, you know what? Yeah, they are a blue blood. I put Florida State in there.
You know what? I kind of want to agree with you. You go back and 20 years ago, you say Florida State, are they a blue blood? You're like, yeah, duh. Obviously, it's been such a long time, I feel, since the Charlie Ward days even. I will say, if I have to choose blue blood or not, considering their hit, yes, I'll go blue blood, but barely a blue blood.
But they had a title in what, the 10 years ago, so it's not that far back.
Did they? Who they beat? I honestly don't remember, I guess.
The question that we're, I guess, getting at then is, can your history carry you to being a blue blood, or have you had to have done anything recently? And if you
haven't, I think it's both. So I think it's both history, and it is that you've consistently gone out there and won. You can't win every year, but it's why we always consider Bama as one of the blue bloods, because even though they don't win every year, they're always one of the top teams.
So you have to win every so often is what we're hearing.
I'm just trying to figure out where we're at. Right? Like when somebody says great college football franchises or blue bloods, I think you got to be top of mind. Like, how many schools do you go through before you reach Florida State?
All right, guys, I got a lot more teams to go through. These are just the contenders.
We're not even saying they're a blue blood. Okay, go on.
So let me give you the rest of the ACC who are in the contenders. So right underneath blue bloods, rest of the ACC would be Clemson, Miami.
Okay, there's no way in hell Miami's a blue blood.
Okay.
They're not even close.
So right there, they should be right underneath the blue blood.
We got to limit the Florida blue bloods.
There should be another category underneath that category.
Underneath this category. Right. That's fair. All right, I have SEC teams that are right underneath the blue blood line.
All right, so right underneath.
LSU, Florida, Auburn, and Tennessee.
All right, so LSU to me still seems like blue blood.
So, right.
I even think Auburn's been decent enough recently where I put them in the blue blood category.
I don't know if I can go that far.
You know what? Auburn doesn't, Kenny, simply because they have to play. Alabama kind of embarrasses them every year, and it takes away from it. But LSU, yeah, if you would have told me this list, I would assume that LSU was a blue blood. Like, what else do they need to do?
You said Florida, too.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida is just underneath. They're Florida on the cusp. Used to be good.
Yes.
They're on the cusp. If they could just somehow get out of their own way, I think that they could work their way back into the blue blood category. If this were like the Tim Tebow early 2000s, they would definitely be there. Urban Meyer, yes, but now, no.
Nope. They're in that third category that you mentioned, Rico.
What, you hate Mark Ryan? Oh, wait,
the
no,
Georgia
you're just
fans.
A Georgia fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, my bad.
So there are two more right underneath the line, both in the Big Ten, Nebraska, Oregon.
Okay.
Nebraska is in that fourth category. Okay. Nebraska blue blood, no. No.
Good quarterback this year, though.
Oregon. You know what? I think that's fair for Oregon because of all the things that they've done. They need that title, man. They need the ring.
You know what it's like? Nebraska is like Indiana basketball. Indiana basketball hasn't done anything for a very long time yet. Everybody always talks about them like they're a blue blood. Same thing with Nebraska. Definitely not. As far as Oregon is concerned, what's between on the cusp and blue blood? Like on the cusp?
Titles.
Titles. I'll put them there.
They don't win titles.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
They got a lot of...
Yeah, if Oregon had two titles, I would say, okay, Oregon.
Did you see that story where Phil Knight said, I'm getting old, I'm willing to give Oregon players as much possible money through NIL?
Yeah,
if I can win a title?
He went full Mike Ilitch.
He did. So here are the blue bloods, okay? SEC, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas. Thank you, Rico. Thank you.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, what has Texas done?
It's been a long time since Vince Young played for Texas.
They're going off brand, clearly.
Yeah. I would combine Oklahoma and Texas and insert LSU and say, LSU, you are in. If I'm a Tigers fan, I would be pissed watching this and seeing this saying, wait, these two jumped us? No.
I'm probably asking the wrong person, but would you have put Michigan as a blue blood before they won the Natty? Because that's what Texas is.
No.
All right. Hey, as long as you're consistent, I have no problem with it.
All right. So I will say, just considering Texas did bounce back, I got to put them as a blue blood.
Have they bounced back?
They were in the CFP. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and Oklahoma.
Okay, but
yes, absolutely. Okay, Oklahoma has had success constantly in every decade.
Using that criteria, then Oregon should be a blue blood.
Correct.
It's fair.
So, all right. So, let me give you the rest of the list here. Rest of the list is full of Big Ten teams.
We've talked way too much.
And one independent team. No. You're fine. Ohio State, Michigan,
yeah.
USC, Penn State. Notre Dame.
Is Penn State really a blue blood? I mean, they got a great program that sells 100,000 fans each game, come on.
This is where I get offended because Penn State is in the same category as Georgia is, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Nonsense.
Well, they're the same, Kenny. They're like the Spider-Man meme.
Okay, so the independent is obviously Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's the one independent.
No, Penn State does not belong in there at all. Michigan... They belong. They won the national championship, so I'll allow them to be in there. Ohio State's in there. Penn State's not. USC, yeah, as much as I think they're going to crash and burn, they belong in blue, but no. Notre Dame, Notre Dame is that head-scratcher, kind of like Florida State, where I could see it, but you need more recent success for me.
Under Brian Kelly... Notre Dame went to, what, 3 national title games? But they got their ass kicked, I feel, in every one of them. Man, that is, first of all, Penn State, that's an atrocity. Get them out of there.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I'll say Notre Dame. I guess initially I said no. I'll go yes. It's a great list. This is fantastic.
It's a consensus. LSU should be in there.
Yes.
Penn State should be out.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
LSU, to me, Texas shouldn't be in there at all. I'm sorry. But, Texas is just the college version of the Cowboys. A lot of hype for nothing.
You know, if you want to do Blue Bloods for the first half of the season every year, then I'll put Penn State there. Right? For six games, you know what? Penn State is a Blue Blood.
Oh, if that's the case, I'll put Penn State's right up there with Northwestern.
Oh, yes.
Great for 6 weeks and then crashes and burns.
That is your college football blitz.
97 won the ticket. Oh, football's so close. Still blitz.
We are less than 50 days till kickoff of the college football season. Yeah. Here's what I want to do today. Andy Staples of On3.com covers all college sports. He put together his Blue Bloods list for college football. So first, he has contenders, and then the actual Blue Bloods. So I'm going to go through the contenders list here. First up in the contenders list, Florida State.
Saying that Florida State is a Blue Blood?
No, they're on the contenders. So underneath the Blue Blood, should they be underneath or should they actually be a Blue Blood?
Man, that's a tough one. You know what, David? They probably would have been a Blue Blood had they been allowed to make the college football playoffs last year. But they
would making an expanded playoff, though, put them in that conversation, or would they have to accomplish more because it's an expanded playoff?
I think they would have to accomplish more. I mean, they do have a tie. Jeez, that's a good one right off the bat. I would still say, you know what? Yeah, they are a Blue Blood. I put Florida State in there.
You know what? I kind of want to agree with you. You go back and 20 years ago, you say Florida State, are they a Blue Blood? You're like, yeah, duh, obviously. It's been such a long time, I feel, since the Charlie Ward days even. I will say, if I have to choose Blue Blood or not, considering their hit, yes, I'll go Blue Blood, but barely a Blue Blood.
But they had a title in, 10 years ago, so it's not that far back.
Did they? Who'd they beat? I honestly don't remember, I guess.
The question that we're, I guess, getting at then is, can your history carry you to being a Blue Blood, or have you had to have done anything recently? And if you haven't...
No, I think it's both. I think it's both history and it is that you've consistently gone out there and won. You can't win every year, but it's why we always consider Bama as one of the Blue Bloods, because even though they don't win every year, they're always one of the top teams.
So you have to win every so often is what we're hearing.
I'm just trying to figure out where we're at. Right? Like when somebody says great college football franchises or Blue Bloods, I think you got to be top of mind. Like how many schools do you go through before you reach Florida State?
All right, guys. I got a lot more teams to go through. The contenders.
Oh, sorry. We're not even saying they're a Blue Blood. Okay, go on.
So let me give you the rest of the ACC who are in the contenders. So right underneath Blue Bloods. Rest of the ACC would be Clemson, Miami.
Okay, there's no way in hell Miami's a Blue Blood.
Okay.
They're not even close.
So right there, they should be right underneath the Blue Blood.
We got to limit the Florida Blue Bloods.
There should be another category underneath that category.
Underneath this category. Right. That's fair. All right, I have SEC teams that are right underneath the Blue Blood line.
All right, so right underneath.
LSU, Florida, Auburn, and Tennessee.
All right, so LSU to me still seems like Blue Blood. So,
right.
I even think Auburn's been decent enough recently where I put them in the Blue Blood
category. I don't know if I can go that far.
You know what? Auburn doesn't, Kenny, simply because they have to play. Alabama kind of embarrasses them every year, and it takes away from it. But LSU, yeah, if you would have told me this list, I would assume that LSU was a Blue Blood. Like, what else do they need to do?
You said Florida, too.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida is just underneath. They're Florida used to be good.
Yes.
They're on the cusp. If they could just somehow get out of their own way, I think that they could work their way back into the Blue Blood category. If this were like the Tim Tebow early 2000s, they would definitely be there. Urban Meyer, yes, but now, no.
Nope. They're in that third category that you mentioned, Rico.
What, you hate Mark Ryan? Oh, wait,
the
no,
Georgia
you're just
fans.
A Georgia fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, my bad.
So there are two more right underneath the line, both in the Big Ten, Nebraska, Oregon.
Okay.
Okay. Nebraska is in that fourth category. Okay. Nebraska blue blood, no. No.
Good quarterback this year, though.
Oregon, you know what? I think that's fair for Oregon because of all the things that they've done. They need that title, man. They need the ring.
You know what it's like? Nebraska is like Indiana basketball. Indiana basketball hasn't done anything for a very long time yet. Everybody always talks about them like they're a blue blood. Same thing with Nebraska. Definitely not. As far as Oregon is concerned, what's between on the cusp and blue blood? Like on the cusp?
Titles.
Cusp?
Titles.
I'll put them there.
They don't win titles.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
They got a lot of...
Yeah, if Oregon had two titles, I would say, okay, Oregon.
Did you see that story where Phil Knight said, I'm getting old, I'm willing to give Oregon players as much possible money through NIL?
Yeah,
he's like, win a title?
He went full Mike Ilitch.
He did. So here are the blue bloods, okay? SEC, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas. Thank you, Rico. Thank you.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, what has Texas done?
It's been a long time since Vince Young played for Texas.
They're going off brand, clearly.
I would combine Oklahoma and Texas and insert LSU and say, LSU, you are in. If I'm a Tigers fan, I would be pissed watching this and seeing this saying, wait, these two jumped us? No.
I'm probably asking the wrong person, but would you have put Michigan as a blue blood before they won the Natty? Because that's what Texas is.
No.
All right. Hey, as long as you're consistent, I have no problem with it.
All right. So I will say just – considering Texas did bounce back, I got to put them as a blue blood.
Have they bounced back?
They were in the CFP, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and Oklahoma.
Okay, but.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Oklahoma has had success constantly in every decade.
Using that criteria, then, Oregon should be a blue blood.
Correct.
It's fair.
So, all right, so let me give you the rest of the list here. Rest of the list is full of Big Ten teams.
We've talked way too much.
And one independent team. No, you're fine. Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Penn State, Notre Dame.
Is Penn State really a blue blood? I mean, they got a great program that sells 100,000 fans each game, but come on.
This is where I get offended because Penn State is in the same category as Georgia is, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Nonsense.
Well, they're the same, Kenny. They're like the Spider-Man meme.
Okay, so the independent is obviously Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's the one independent.
No, Penn State does not belong in there at all. Michigan, they belong. They won the national championship, so I'll allow them to be in there. Ohio State's in there. Penn State's not. USC, yeah, as much as I think they're going to crash and burn, they belong in blue, but no. Notre Dame, Notre Dame is that head-scratcher, kind of like Florida State, where I could see it, but... You need more recent success for me.
Under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame went to, what, 3 national title games? But they got their ass kicked, I feel, in every one of them. Man, that is, first of all, Penn State, that's an atrocity. Get them out of there.
Get them out of there.
But, yeah, I'll say Notre Dame. I guess initially I said no. I'll go yes. It's a great list. It's fantastic.
It's a consensus. LSU should be in there.
Yes.
Penn State should be out.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. LSU, to me, Texas shouldn't be in there at all. I'm sorry. But, Texas is just the college version of the Cowboys. A lot of hype for nothing.
You know, if you want to do Blue Bloods for the first half of the season every year, then I'll put Penn State there. Right? For 6 games,
you know what?
Penn State is a Blue Blood.
Oh, if that's the case, I'll put Penn State's right up there with Northwestern.
Oh, yes.
Great for 6 weeks and then crashes and burns.
That is your college football blitz.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.